Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. I welcome you here as we worship together on this beautiful fall morning. There's signs of fall all around us with the crisp air, the changing colors of the leaves, and the squirrels that are so busily hiding their nuts. What an amazing world that God has created, that we can experience all of the incredible seasons in so many different ways. Before we get started, I just want to highlight a few announcements. It's great to see that our weekday programming is in full swing. We have lots of different kids and youth programming, ladies' coffee hour, and two different choirs that you could join and practice with all this week. Take a look at the bulletin to see how you might want to participate. If you or someone you know is interested in an e-bulletin and are not already receiving it, please let Eileen know in the office. And we want to extend our condolences to the family of Irmgard Voth, who passed away this week on October the 6th. The visitation will be here at the church on Thursday, October the 13th, beginning at 10 a.m. with the service at 11. As part of the funeral, those willing to sing in the choir are asked to rehearse in the choir room at 10:30 on Thursday. And due to the funeral, the quilting scheduled for this Thursday morning is cancelled for this week and will resume again next week, October the 20th. With the many activities going on, we want to be mindful of doing our part to stay healthy and protect the health of others by staying home if you're not feeling well. So let's join our hearts and voices as we sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty. I'll invite the worship team to come forward and let's stand as we sing this together. All right, you may be seated. Just thought there might be another one. As a call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm chapter 66 for the director of music, a song, a psalm. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Thanksgiving Day, we bow our hearts to you and pray. We give you thanks for all that you've done, especially for the gift of Jesus, for the breathtaking beauty in your creation. You created the hills, the valleys, the rivers and streams, the fields of fruits and vegetables that we're so blessed to abundantly receive, especially here in the Niagara region. We pray that we will be respectful and wise in caring for your creation. We thank you for joy and health, for friends and for family, for daily provision. Your mercy and care, these are the blessings that you graciously share with us. Today we offer this response of praise with a promise to follow you all of our days. Amen. After our next song, To God Be the Glory, the children are invited to come up to the front. Aaron Friesen has a story for you after this next song.
Song. There we go. If the kids want to come forward, we're going to do children's story now. Come on up. Usually there's music right now to fill this awkward silence, but we don't have that right now. There we go. Welcome, welcome. Good to see you all again. How is everyone doing this morning? Oh, I don't know what that means, but I hope that means good. Okay. Well, good to see you all. Welcome here. I have a treat for you. before we get started. But before I can give you the treat, I need to hear like a special word. Does anyone know? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, please. Can we all say please? That's the word that you say when you want something, right? Okay, I'm not hearing it. Come on. There we go. There we go. Okay. Everybody, there was a word that Callan and Dexton said. What was that word? Thank you. That's right. Yeah. That's kind of an important word, right? So you're welcome. Thank you for saying thank you. I'm glad you remembered to say that. That's an important thing to say, right? When you say thank you, it lets people know that you're thankful for something that they've given you or something they've done for you. So that's kind of an important thing to say, right? We have a Bible reading today. And it's about someone who said thank you. So we're reading from Luke, and this is a story about a time that Jesus did something really amazing. He was walking, and he came across 10 men who were really sick. They had a disease called leprosy, which means that they had these like gross things on their skin. It was not very nice. And they asked Jesus to heal them. So Jesus said, of course, I'll heal you. Go show yourself to the priest, who is like an important person in the community. And then on the way there, you'll be healed. So they went to go see the priest, and on their way there, they were healed. Their leprosy was cured. They were all better. And they were pretty excited, right? So 9 of these guys, they just ran off. They went to go live their lives. They were so happy to be healed. But only one of these guys came back to thank Jesus. Just one. So if you were Jesus, how do you think that would make you feel if only one person came and said thank you? What do you think? Yeah, Callan. Yeah, maybe a little bit sad. Grateful for the one guy, right? But maybe sad that the others didn't say thank you, right? Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure Jesus was happy to heal all of these guys, right? But I'm sure he was a little bit disappointed that only one of them came and said thank you. So God wants us to say thank you, right? That's what we can learn from this story. God does all these awesome things in our lives, and he wants us to say thank you for that. How often do you think God does awesome things in our lives? Like once or twice a year? Like once a month? What? 3,000 times? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably even more than 3,000 times. God does amazing things in our lives all the time, right? So we can always be saying thank you. He takes care of us. He gives us what we need, right? So this weekend is Thanksgiving, so we're trying to be a little bit extra thankful, right? But let's remember to be thankful all the time. Right? And say thank you to other people and to God for the things that he does for us, right? So let's pray together, and then you can go back to your seats. Dear God, we are just so thankful for all the amazing things that you do for us. We're thankful for this weekend where we get to spend time with family and enjoy good food together. And we just pray that we would remember to be more thankful every day of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back. Enjoy your candies.
to be reading the scripture verse for this morning, and it's taken from Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Thank you.
Thank you, Alvin, and choir, others leading in music, and much appreciated for the variety of ways different people share in sharing in our worship services. Two short comments before our prayer. In years past, the Thanksgiving Sunday, harvest season, was opportunity to express thanks to God for the harvest from the land that we had received. With that, there was the sharing of extra donations for mission outreach ministries of the church. And this morning, thank you for those sharing ministry goods, food goods, for the community care here this morning. The barrel continues. I know a number of you dropped off things at the barrel in the foyer there. And the other primary community service that we share with Westview Center for Women, another opportunity for us to engage in supporting others in our community. So thank you for that support. Secondly, in the Bible reading, as mentioned, a group of men had illness, and they were standing at a distance calling out to Jesus, "Have pity on us, have mercy on us." And reading the text this morning as I was preparing reminded me of walking the hallways of various long-term care facilities. And if you've had that experience, you may know the familiar sense of walking the hallway and hearing someone call out, "Help! Help! Someone come! Someone come!" All due respect to the staff, because they hear that all day. And yet that person, I know, when I've stopped and chatted, they have just been longing for that personal contact, for that personal touch. And it is so meaningful. And even a few moments that we exchange with others in our wanderings, whether it's in a facility or on the street with neighbors, that personal contact with each other affirms our sense of community. It expresses our care for one another, and in many ways is an enormous way of expressing our faith to others of care and compassion that we have received from God. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Lord God, grant us courage for these days to receive mercy and to extend mercy to others. You have blessed us so abundantly. For all the events happening around us, we come to pause this day, to come into your sanctuary before you to express our thanks, to acknowledge how our lives have been changed over the past months and years, yes. And yet we continue to receive blessings of care and compassion from various sources. We have received the blessing of family and faith because of what you have done for us through Jesus. We have received blessings of home and hope for what you do in the midst of our lives. And while we experience shortages of various goods and tightening of finances, we do acknowledge the blessings of safety in our community, security, of the strength for living meaningful lives, again, because of Jesus' touch upon us, who called us to be a community of faith, to be a community of support for one another. Thank you, gracious God, for our gathering once again this morning for this season and for the fall colors as we acknowledge the change of season. We acknowledge changes in seasons of our lives. We pray for your comfort and compassion for the family of Ermengard Voth, who passed away this last week, a member of our community, one who served quietly and graciously, and who had an impact in the lives of others. We share with those who have been dealing with health issues, many at home quietly, but we also acknowledge Betty and Helen and the other Helen and others in our midst who are dealing with particular health issues. Grant to them healing. Grant to them care and compassion as they receive help. Gracious God, we continue to pray for leadership of the church, those who serve in various capacities, and also look to you again with anticipation for the coming of a new lead pastor, someone you have in store for us, whom yet we're unaware. But may your grace provide what we need to continue our ministries as a service, serving as a community. We are very aware again of those on the East Coast who've experienced devastation, total upheaval of home and community life, and continue for restoration, for them to experience hope and renewal. We're also very aware, O God, of continuing violence in Ukraine, Burkina Faso, and other communities, especially where our sense of Christian brothers and sisters are continuing to try to witness peace and wholeness through Jesus Christ in the midst of violence and war. Be with us as we continue to serve as community. Bless our tithes and offerings for the growth of your church. We ask that you be with Paul as he speaks and shares from your word this morning, aware also that you would give him and Candy a joyful rest and time together over the next couple of weeks as they travel. In all of these things, we give you thanks for what you have done for us through Jesus Christ, in anticipation of celebrating your communion, your supper before us, with bread and cup. These things we look forward to in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul?
Good morning, church. I wanted to lift up holy hands this morning as the praise and worship choir invited us to open our mouths and sing God's praise and to lift up holy hands. You know what I'm going to do. I want you to repeat after me as you lift up holy hands. Praise the Lord, we give thanks. Holy hands, lift them up. Repeat after me, praise the Lord, we give thanks. Amen. Now, didn't that feel good? As Sister Marion was reading from Luke chapter 17, I was reminded this morning that there are Christian sisters and Christian brothers around the world. There are preachers and priests in the Christian Orthodox Church, in the Catholic Church, in the non-Catholic church communities, reading that very same lectionary scripture. What a word of encouragement. Thank you as well, Pastor Randy, for giving us another angle on this wonderful text that we are looking at this morning. How do you respond to grace? As we pause to offer our words of thanksgiving, and we also look forward to coming before the communion table and affirming our love and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, please do put yourself in the sandals of these lepers. For their leprosy, as we understand, excluded them from inclusion in the Jewish community. But please do seek to observe and eventually put your feet in the sandals of the Samaritan. Immerse yourself in this story of thanksgiving, of praise, of faith, of grace. It's an interesting reality this week. A reality, but also an irony, that as we talk about this story, this pivotal story this morning of leprosy, it was in the lectionary. I knew I was going to preach from this text months and months and months ago. I was assigned this Sunday to preach, and Luke chapter 17 was the assigned text. I have tried and tried and tried and tried through my family doctor to get into a a skin disorders clinic. And the dermatologist would see me on Friday of this week. So there I sat in the examining room. I won't go into any detail except to say this. The examining room was surrounded by these pictures of skin disorders. And I thought to myself, hi, how ironic that I would be preaching this Sunday morning from Luke chapter 17. And these lepers, these skin disorders, all is fine, no problem. I just want you to understand that. We move on. So I want you for just a moment to place yourself in the sandals of these lepers. You see, in Bible days, any form of skin disorder classified you as being outside the camp, outside inclusion in the community. It may have been melanoma, it may have been cysts, it may have been some form of reddening of the skin, it may have been inflammation, it may have been discoloration, it may have been psoriasis, it may have been a flesh-eating disease. But if you had some type of skin disorder, you were a leper. And until that disorder was removed, you were excluded from the camp. You were an outsider. You were part of the community of the lepers. Now, Christ's desire was to see these precious souls return to the community. When he looked upon them, that's an interesting phrase. He looked upon them. He didn't turn the other way. As Pastor Randy alluded, help. Can you help me? Do we turn an eye or do we look? Our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he looked at them. They were significant, precious souls who were outside the camp, outside the community, not included in that Jewish community where the priests, as it were, ruled who was in and who was out. So I want you to linger, but for a moment, with these nine who received a touch of God's healing grace. Marvel at that. Let's not speed on to look at the Samaritan. Let's marvel at the compassion, at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, at these outsiders. Jesus saw them. He saw their need. And he granted them the most wonderful, wonderful gift that upon returning to the priest would say, you're healed. You're cleansed. Come on home. Come on back into the community. Put your feet in the sandals of one of those lepers. Look at them. But let your feet go into the sandals of maybe a son, maybe a daughter, maybe a spouse, maybe a beloved loved one, who for any number of reasons is the leper, who are outside the camp, who are not part of the community. Feel for them. Take pity upon them. Why are they outside the camp? Your son, your daughter, your spouse, your beloved friends. It may be their morals. It may be their sexuality. It may be their atheistic, it may be they're agnostic, it may be they're violent, it may be they're vociferous. They simply don't fit into your community, our community. But just pause a moment longer. Watch our Lord Jesus Christ touch them. He welcomed them back into the community. They were welcomed back into the family. They were welcomed back into maybe the church. Outsiders. Lepers. Earlier in the week, I had a wonderful conversation with Brother John as he was working on selecting the music for the singers this morning. And he said, Paul, are we talking about Thanksgiving this morning? Or are we talking about communion? Yes, both of those. But it's also about the grace of God touching lives. All 10 lepers were now allowed to re-enter community. But it's the one Samaritan who was affirmed to have faith. Here, one who had been excluded, not acceptable, an outsider, granted a place in God's faith community. Oh, let us be a people who see that the gospel net has been cast broadly for all to enter. All 10 lepers had some level of faith. They all obeyed Jesus' word and all journeyed toward their given goal to visit the priest for the official, you're okay. Perhaps they were disappointed that Jesus did not answer their prayer then and there on the spot. Nonetheless, they all went off as they were told to, and on the way something happened. They realized they were cured. They got what they asked for. Have pity on us. They got what they asked for and they wanted. If we can presume, the story is mute on the point, and so it isn't the point that they reached the priest and got their clean bill of health. Then they could and did return to human society, and they began living a normal life in community once again. Yet, that is all they got. And no more. Jesus wants to do immensely more for us than cure our physical ills. He wants to give us a relationship with Him that will not only last forever, but will give us much more than normal life. Apparently, 9 of the 10 people are willing to settle for less than that. They're interested only in this life. And its comforts and its pleasures and being accepted into community. It would not occur to them to pray for anything other than the tangible and the visible realities, the only ones they know. What they got, physical cure, was miraculous. It was good. It was the grace of God through Jesus Christ being administered in a physical cleansing, in a physical healing, restoring them to community. But how do we get that more? The 10th man, one outside the faith, a Samaritan, certainly undeserving, the one who should not have been cured in the first place, for he was a Samaritan, not one of us. He did not stop at the physical change. He went deeper into the reality of his cure. And he found, as the children this morning, gratitude, thankfulness. And it motivated and changed his behavior from that moment on. Jesus equated gratitude with faith, interesting. The awareness that all comes from God, that all depend on God, and that God is gracious. The same is true of the attitude of gratitude. When our consciousness is alive with God, when He is at the center of our consciousness, our experience of life changes, and we share in His quality of life. The other 9 lepers obeyed the law Jesus gave them, the instructions that Jesus gave them. But it didn't penetrate to the point where they returned in a spirit of gratitude. Only 1 out of the 10 got the point and returned to give thanks. And Jesus then said to him that he could stand up and go. We presume, though it's not specifically mentioned, that the former leper chose to go and become a follower of Jesus rather than return with the crowds on their way. We are not told because we are to put ourselves in the story and decide which way we will go and whether we will accept the full cure of Jesus. Jesus touched not only body, but mind, but soul. What pair of sandals have you put your feet in this morning? The sandals of gratitude, of thankfulness, as we approach the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We could also identify this story as, I could have entitled this sermon, The Rarity of Gratitude. But I chose Responding to Grace as an act of faith. Cures for the body are trumped by curing of the soul, the sin-sick soul, whereby we receive peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus, as the Samaritan received it. This grace and gift of faith is available to all. Giving thanks and praise and glory to God for what he has done, beware of being grouped with the other 9 who simply, dare I say, used the grace of God to get what they wanted. Inclusion into community. Can we speculate that they returned home and basically returned to a normal life? The sons, the daughters, the spouses, the special friends, and were welcomed back into the community? Christian ethics is gratitude, responding to life and its challenges in the spirit that life is a gift. He returned to the source of God's many blessings, to Jesus. The Samaritan returned and he gave thanks. Is the Lord to be outdone by a Samaritan or anyone else in generosity? Our God is a gracious God. Gratitude, after all, is a generous spirit. So the Lord, having given him so much, already gives him more. The more that Jesus gave to the Samaritan, that which we are all looking for, he gives him salvation. He gives him faith to believe and to know and become a follower of the way of Jesus. He calls his act of gratitude faith. The broader vision that enables one to really see into reality, to see it as it really is. And so in a moment, we come to the table with thanksgiving, in faith. Who do we deem to be unworthy of grace and God's good salvation? Who are the unclean within our society? Would we include those of no religion, of other religions? Would we include atheists and agnostics as being outsiders, not eligible to the grace of God through Jesus Christ? What about those who are more fluid and undefined concerning who they are. Male, female, how do you identify? Their sexuality is something that they're grappling with. Are they undeserving of the grace of God through Jesus Christ? What about those gross sinners, the worst of the worst? Are they outside of a touch of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Who is there within our global family beyond the reach, the touch of God's grace? Who? No one. One of my favorite texts that assures me of this truth is found in the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 11. The grace of God, Paul tells Titus, writes to Titus, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all peoples. Jesus said to him and says to us that faith will give us cures beyond the physical. Grace will cure the soul, the sin-sick soul. The others missed the chance to respond to God's grace. Grace's opportunity, they responded to his commands and received what they hoped and asked for. But they merely received grace. They did receive grace from Jesus Christ. But they didn't respond to it. They didn't respond to it. They just re-entered community. They didn't sense the opportune moment to go beyond and return and fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Samaritan's example teaches us that conscious thanksgiving, constantly recalling God's past graces, fuels our faith. Each of us here today, when we have an encounter with the grace of God, it changes us and invites us to bow before Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, as an act of faith. May it be so amongst us this day. Song leaders, please.
Thank you, Paul, for that message and worship group for leading us in an affirmation of God's redemption for us. As you entered the sanctuary, at least here at the center doors, you were offered a plastic bag containing the wafer and cup for communion. There was also the gluten-free option. If you missed that, maybe Helga or Linda, did you have some more supplies? Yeah, if you missed that, just raise your hand and she will come around. Herb is at the back there too if you missed it. If you take the cup out, and just a bit of a reminder, there are two tabs and they are difficult to see. I acknowledge that. Actually, this morning, a number of you further commented as you were receiving those. They can be a challenge to separate the cellophane and the foil tabs there. And the gluten-free, there is only the foil tab, just to acknowledge that. When I extend the invitation, peel back the cellophane, which gives you access to the wafer. But don't do the foil tab yet, otherwise the juice may spill. So it can be a bit tricky. And if need be, ask someone close by just to help you for assistance with that. At the conclusion of the service, the bag is actually to put your cup back in. They do drip a little bit, the remainder, so just put that back, and there will be containers at the back of the sanctuary or at the back of the foyer to deposit those when we leave. In Paul's message, the experience of God's grace acknowledged by the foreigner, the Samaritan, the one despised. Before the pandemic, you may have had opportunity to travel to a foreign country, to see different sights, meet different people, experience especially one desired by young adults. I know I did when I was that age. And there is that experience of leaving one's home community, one's home country, and experiencing other things and coming to the realization how differently other people live. With that might also be the realization of how good we have it here at home. During the Thanksgiving experience, this morning was also read for us from Psalm 66, inviting us to take a look at God's wonders, at what God has done for us in this place, in this community, in this country. Last week, as I was sharing the funeral service for Henry Peters, it was mentioned how deeply he appreciated the opportunities and freedoms that he had experienced here in Canada. And I've heard this appreciation many times from especially our elders of the community who've lived elsewhere, who've lived under different conditions and faced great challenges in order to give their children and their grandchildren a better way of life. I've heard that multiple times from our elders. We are blessed. And we are blessed to be a blessing. It's not just because we're so good, but God has been good to us. Let that overflow. As foreigners and aliens, let us give thanks to God for the blessings of the cup, of the bread, the symbols and reminders of our calling to follow Jesus for these days and for eternity. And so I invite you, while the elements are here, also with you distributed already, we recall the meaning of the Lord's Supper, the sacrifice of Jesus for sin, for our sins, the encounter with the risen Lord, remembering his teachings of faith for daily living, a commitment of communion with the community, the baptized believers we share with, and reclaiming for us that we are the body of Christ, reminding us of who we are. And so the Lord's Supper is our anticipation also of that day when Jesus will come again. As the Lord's table, it is Jesus who invites us It is Jesus who serves us. Let us acknowledge our weakness, renounce our sin, and trust in Jesus for the grace of the living of these days. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, in your care for us, you set before us the table of simple bread and drink. In remembrance, we accept your love. We renew our vows of baptism in Jesus' name, the confession of sin, the commitment to live as community of faith. We join our hearts and voices as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you would take the cup and remove the cellophane wafer or the gluten-free wafer, as we partake, we also acknowledge those who are near us, our commitment of receiving forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Let us partake of his body, the bread of Christ. Jesus also took the cup and said, "This is my covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us acknowledge one another in our commitment to be Jesus for each other. Jesus' blood shed for you. Thank you, Trudy. Invite the singing group forward, then we will share the benediction as they get prepared. Let us stand. As we prepare to leave from this time of worship, and trust the Lord, for the Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Elizabeth.